Rabosai, one of the fundamental sugyas in Masechta Nida, again from the perspective of the Isur Nida, is the sugya here on Daf Nun Zayin Amid Beis, and this is the sugya of Shmuel, otherwise known as the sugya of Hargasha. And the sugya of Hargasha is a tremendous introduction to the concept of ksamim, of what we call Tumah D'Rabbanan. We touched on it last time, and now's the time to get into it even more in depth. Again, we're trying to choose those sugyas that give us a little bit of a framework for the laws of Nida. And this one for sure has to be up on top. Amar Shmuel, Bodka Karka Olam. So she checked the ground, and she saw that there was no dam there. The Yoshva Len, she sat on the Karka. Umatza Dam Aleha, and then she finds dam on the Karka. Tahora. To our surprise, Shmuel says she's Tahora. Shenemar Bibsara. The Pasuk says Bibsara, and he has here the whole Pasuk written out. He says Ve'isha in Vayikra Tezva, Ve'isha Kisia Zova Dam Yeh Zova Bibsara Shivas Yom Tia Benidasa, etc. Bibsara Achetargish Bibsara. So let's point out a few things here as we go along. Number one, Shmuel is not based on Svara. He's clearly based on Gzeres HaKosva, on a Pasuk, on a Drasha. Point number two, we wonder whether when Shmuel says the word Tahora, does he mean Tahora Da'oraisa? That for sure he means Shenemar. But does he also mean Tahora L'chatchila L'halacha L'maisa, even as far as a possible Tumah D'Rabbanan? Meaning, does the concept, as we'll see later on, of Tumah D'Rabbanan that applies to Ksamim, would it apply to Karka? And that's going to be the sugi on the top of Daf Nun Ches Amid Aleph. The Mishnah is quoted here of Kol Davar Sheino Mekabel Tumah Eino Mekabel Ksamim. That's a discussion later on. In any event, I think the most important point that we should be making here is that Shmuel seems at the face of it to be saying that we know that the dam came from her makar. We have no reason, ostensibly, to suspect that it came from any other source. After all, she checked the karka before she sat on it, and nevertheless, she's tahora. But as we'll soon see, the sugya and the rishonim, they don't seem to interpret it that way at all. They assume to interpret it, and again, I'm just sort of letting the cat out of the bag here. This is the punchline of the shiur today, but we'll get into it in Mirtz Hashem step by step. That Enochinami, the reason why the Torah says that she's Tahora is because although she checked the Karka Olam, we still think that maybe the Dam is not Dam in Amokar, and the Torah itself is concerned about that possibility. Okay, let's take a look at the Gemara itself. The Gemara says, we'll fast forward a little bit here, Toshma. We have here, I think you'd have to fast forward about five lines. Toshma ha'isha shahi osa tzrachel. So this is always the question of, is there dam mixed with meraglayim, ras adam? And what we're interested in here is that according to Rabbi Meir, we have to make a distinction between omedes and Yosheves. Rashi has a long discussion here about the difference between Omedes and Yosheves. In the case of Yosheves, we have reason to believe that perhaps the dam came from a makkah, whereas in the case of Omedes, we don't suspect that, and therefore she is Tmeah. Now the question is here, what are we dealing with? Are we dealing with dam by Argosha, or dam without Argosha? According to Shmuel, we need dam by Hargosha. In the case of Yosheves, if you're telling me she didn't have Hargosha, then Tahora, Rabbi Meir's psak that she's Tahora makes sense. But if you're telling me that there was no Hargosha, what about the Reisha of Rabbi Meir? That if she was Omedes, she's Tmeya. Even if Omedes somehow removes the suffix of Dam Minamaka, but nevertheless, she had no Hargosha. And Shmuel made an absolute statement that Dam below Hargosha is not Metame. Hechi Domi, the Gemara says, Mimon of Shach, I don't understand Rabbi Meir's statement. E the Argosha, if she had Hargosha, is Yosheves Amai Tahora. In other words, she had Hargosha that the Dam came out of her Mokar. She knows that it's Dam neither. What difference does it make? Even if she was sitting and there's a possibility that she had Dam in Amak, it doesn't make any sense because she had Dam Hargosha. El Olav, in order to justify the Sefer that she's Tahora, you're going to have to assume ipso facto the Lav Argosha, she didn't have any Argosha. Ukitani, and nevertheless it says Omedes Tmeya. In the case of Omedes, she's Tmeya even without Argosha. So that's the first kasha, the first attack on Shmuel from this brisa of Omedes v'Yosheves in the case of Meiraglayim. And it seems from this Gemara that there is some sort of discussion about the possibility of excluding any other option or any other source for the Dam. And the reason I mentioned this to you is because I want to take a look at the Tosas Rid in this sugya, which I copied for you on the pages, if you happen to have the pages that I gave out. And it's number Hey on the page. We're actually up to number Beis, but I want to fast forward to number Hey because I think Beis, Gimel, and Dalet will all make a lot of sense, or at least they should be put into the perspective of Hey of the Tosas Rid. The Tosas Rid wants to give us an insight as to why the Torah puts so much emphasis on Hargosha. Why is Hargosha a precondition for a Nida to become Tmeya? Says the Tosas Rid, this is a quote, "In lo hirgisha, in the absence of Hargosha, sheyotza mipsara, that the Dam came out of her basar, tahorihi, the Amor, because perhaps we should suggest Lobodka Yofa, she didn't check the karka well, thoroughly. The karka Havi Haidam Meikar, Ubikarka, excuse me, Havi Haidam Meikar. Even before she sat down, there was Dama on the karka. Now, admittedly, it's a little bit far out of an assumption to say the Lobodka Yofa, and the obvious intuitive question or objection that we should raise is here, why does the Torah require, according to Tosas Rid, Hargosh as a Tanai? I mean, Bishleim, if she didn't check, you know, then you could raise the possibility that the Dam was there before she sat down, but she checked. And nevertheless, the Tosas Rid assumes the possibility, at least, the Amor, Lobodka Yofa. But you know what? Even if I grant the Tosas Rid that Amar lo bodka yofa, that there is a possibility that she didn't check yofa, but still you have to admit that there is a possibility that she did check yofa. In other words, the Tosas Rid is not trying to convince us, you know, to whisper into our ears that definitely the Dam was there, Meikara, she made a Bedika, it wasn't a valid or reliable bedik. He's not saying that. He's not going as far as to give us a certain or definite premise that she didn't check and the Dam was there Meikara. He uses the word D'Amar. Now we know that the difference between an Issa D'Oraisa and an Issa D'Rabbanan is primarily the case of Safek. Whereas Safek D'Rabbanan L'Kula, but Safek D'Oraisa is L'Chumra. So even if you tell me Amar Lo Bodka, Chach, at least you should be molded to me, and I'm talking to the Tosfos Rid in the context of Shmuel, that Safek D'Oraisa is here, and she should be asura midin sofek. Eimor lo bodka yofe, but it's not vade de lo bodka yofe. Eimor bodka yofe. And then therefore the dam was not there. There was no dam, and it came from a mokar. So where else did the dam come from? And this question bothers this sefer that I keep telling you about, the Moreshes Moshe, to such an extent that he wants to raise the possibility here that sofek doraisa lekula. Now that's pretty radical to say sofek doraisa lekula. It sort of undermines our yud gimel ikri amuna. This is a tenet of the faith that sofek doraisa is lekumra. But he refers to a machlokas rishonim between the Rambam and the Rashba as to whether sofek doraisa lekumra is doraisa or drabana. And the first shmaita is excellent. The first shmaita. And he says, without quoting the Shmaita, that this Tosis Rid, at the face of it, would seem to be supporting those Rishonim who maintain that Sofik Daraisa L'chum is only Derabbanan. And on a Daraisa level, we should apply the principle of Sofik Daraisa L'kula. Again, on a Daraisa, it's only Derabbanan who are Machmir in a Sofik Daraisa. Now, my take on that is Zenirli Docha Gottel. You know, I don't want to, you know, to say that the Rishonim here, we're going to see how this Tosis Rid is sort of like champions the whole cause here, and all the sugyas are going to try to, we're going to try to fit them into place, and it's all based on the assumption that Sofek Doraisa Lechumra is only Durabbanan. You know, Zenirli Dochuk. You know, anyone who wants to go with that way, I mention it and put it on the table, and you know, call Misha Yavol, you know, Hefker, call Misha Rotsi Yavol V'Yitol. But at the end of the day, we still have to come back to understand what this Amor Lo Bodka Yafa is, and why the Tosfos Rid frame of reference. That would be enough to tell me why she's Tahora Midorais. Now, keep in mind that the Gemara talks about cases here where we assume that the dam came in a makar. For example, in the case of Aisha Shahaya Osa Tzrachea, although I admit, and that's Rabbeinu's point, that if she's Yosheves, we don't know. Maybe the dam is min hamakor. But in the case of Omedes, and this is where the Gemara stands up and pounces upon Shmuel and raises this contradiction. How could Rav Meir say Omedes Tmeya if she didn't have Hargasha? And the Tosis Rid would have argued the following, I think, that, you know what, that's not a cash on Shmuel. Omedes, which precludes the possibility of Dam min Amaka, again, the biology and the physiology of it, we'll get to it some other time, that's not for today. But again, as Rashi points out, we know that in the case of Omedes, the Dam is not coming from Amaka. Therefore, I don't understand, what's the objection against Shmuel? Shmuel is telling us, the way the Tosfos Rid understands him, that the reason why the Torah requires Hargasha is because in the absence of Hargasha, we assume that the dam might have been the Meikara, even before she sat down on the Karka, Emar Lobodka Yofna. In this case, that the dam came from the Mokar. And how do I know that the dam came from? Because she was what? Omedes. Right, so she sees blood in her urine and she was Omedes, and she stood and urinated in that position. In that case, the dam didn't come from anywhere else. That's not a Sofek. Well, what, maybe it's dam in a Maka, but in Omedes there's no Sofek dam in a Maka. Even Shmuel would have to agree in such a case that she's Tmeo. What are you arguing? What are you attacking Shmuel? And Rabbo said the plot goes thicker, and I'll tell you why, because over and over again, the Gemara is going to raise the same kind of kasha. For example, let's fast forward again. We're going to have to go through this whole sugya bli neder, you know, line by line. Right now I'm just picking and choosing those parts that are more relevant to me. Take a look at the last of the skinny lines on Daf Nun Zayin Amud Beis Toshma. The Braisa says Nimtzal Shalo. So we're talking about a case where there was Tashmish and he made a bedika, she made a bedika, his aid and her aid. So if they found Dam Al Shalo, Tmeim v'chayovim karbon, because it turns out that she had a relationship with him when she was a nid. Again, he didn't know that going in, so he's only a shogeg. He wasn't a mezid, but nevertheless, he violated the iser of nido, which is an iser karis, and if he's chayv what a karmel chatos, fine. In fact, again, this is a different sugya, not for us today. It could be chayv two karbanos, because there's also chiv karban on the yitzia. That's called be'ever chay. If he doesn't realize that he's not supposed to, you know, to remove himself until after it's an Eivir Mes, then that's another Chiv Karban. Because Kishem Shu Chayev Al Knisa Kash Chayev Al Yitzio. Okay, but that's just I'm just trying to tickle your curiosity for a sugi that I want to do maybe next week. Nimtzal Shala Isyom, and it's immediately after the Maisa Bia, she checks her aid, and she finds Damal her aid, Tmeim V'chayofim Karban. And the Gemara says, "Hey, chidami idi argisha." You're telling me that it's got to be isyom that she checked her aid immediately after the tashmish. But if it's a case of argisha, according to Shmuel, is nachas mana my p'turim and akorban alav diot lo argisha. It must be a case where she didn't have argosha. If she had argosha, then even lachas man she would be chayv akorban chatos. You must say by process of elimination that there was no argosha. And nevertheless, Ketani, it says nimtzal shala esyom is tmeim v'chayovim v'karban. Why they chayv v'karban? According to Shmuel, you're telling me that there's no what? There's no argosha. So again, let's just review. There are two kashas that the Gemara raises against Shmuel. The first kash is that the Braisa says in Osa Tzrocheha, in an Amida situation, then we know that she's Tmeya, and yet it's a case of low argosha. How is Shmuel going to square with that? The second kash of the Gemara is a case where right after Tashmish, she made a bedika and she checked her aid, and she found Dam on the aid immediately after the Tashmish. And even though there was no Argosha, she's Tmeya. And Shmuel would have to insist that she's Tahor because there was no Argosha. But Lechora Bosai, the answer to both these questions is written here in the Tosis Rid, which is not good for me, because if the answer to these questions is in the Tosis Rid, then why did the Gemara even raise these questions? Why were these valid objections to Shmuel? In the first case, we know that the Dam came in Amokar because she was Omedes. In the second case, we know that the Dam came in Amokar because she did a Bedika before Tashmish and after Tashmish. So we know that the Dam came from the Mokar. There's no other possibility. Ilo Argusha, okay, fine. She was busy with other Hargushos. We won't go into detail. I'm even Yom. And therefore, she didn't realize, she wasn't cognizant of the fact that she had Dam Bahargusha Min Amokar. And of course, she's Tmeh. Why would Shmuel doubt that? Shmuel is telling us that if she checked the karka, and maybe we should assume that she didn't do a valid or reliable inspection on the karka, therefore we assume the dam was there before. What does that have to do with these cases where we know where the dam came from, and the only thing that's missing and the only thing that's absent is a hargosha? Those are the two kashas that I want to raise with you. And now, Rabosai, to make the plot grow even thicker, let's take a look on Daf Gimel Amud Aleph. This is the famous sugya of Ksamim. And in order to appreciate this Gemara on Daf Gimel Amud Aleph, we'll go back to the Mishnah at the beginning of Masecht Nida. And we're talking about a woman who had a Re'iyas Dam. And here we have machlokes between Shammai and Hillel. And basically, without getting into all the nitty-gritty details, Hillel is the one who wants to say that she's Tmeil Mafreya. And if she's Tmeil Mafreya, because it took a while till the dam came out, then all the taros that she came in contact with, we assume to be Tmeils. That's called either Pekida, or Meisleis, whatever it might be. But that's always Lamafre. Comes along Shammai and he disagrees. Kol Anoshim, Dayon, Shaiton. I mean, if she has a Re'iyas Dam, we're going to assume that from hence, from now and onward, any contact she has with Truma, etc., etc., she's Metame. But we're not going to go back to the time period Lamafreya and assume that the dam was somewhere hung up there in the Beis Achitzon. She's Tveya from now and onwards, and that's called in the language of the Mishnah Dayan Shait. So the Gemara now raises the following question. This is on the bottom of Daf Gimel Amud Aleph. It's about 10 lines up from the bottom. And the Gemara asks the following question. Ve'ha'ika ksamim delo kishamai. The assumption of ksamim, meaning the Mishnah says that if a woman finds a kesem, Rashi quotes the Mishnah from Daf Nun Vav Amud Aleph, we didn't see this Mishnah, that she's metami l'mafreya. That when she finds a kesem, there's tumah l'mafreya. Now wait a second. Shammai is of the opinion that there's no din of tumah l'mafreya. So how is he going to square with this halacha of a haroah kesem is metami l'mafreya? That's against Shammai. Omer Abaye. Abai says, Mode Shammai b'ksamim. Shammai is Mode in the case of ksamim. Now let's understand. Let's go back for a moment to Hillel. Hillel says that when she finds Dam, she's Tmei l'mafreya. Right, let's say Meis Leis. I'm not going to go into Pekidu L'Pekidu, that's even more complicated. That means she's Tmeya even before the last Bedika, which may have been a long time. But let's say Meis Leis. So for 24 hours, L'mafreya, we're going to assume that anything she came in contact with is Tmeya. Shammai doesn't buy into it. Why? Because Shammai says the following, that if there was Dam in the Beis HaChitzon a day ago, right, then how come she didn't have a Hargasha? Meaning, the fact that there was absent Hargasha, that itself in Shammai's mind proves to us and establishes that there's no reason to even doubt or raise the possibility that there was Dam before this Re'iyah. She had a Re'iyah now. Let's assume she had a Re'iyah by Hargasha. Correct? That's the classical case of Dam B'Re'iyah. And to say that she had Dam B'Re'iyah before, she had Re'iyah's Dam, which she didn't see, but it was caught up in the body a day ago, right? Say Shammai, I can't accept such a possibility. And why not? Because there was no Hargasha. Now she has Hargasha. Yesterday she didn't have Hargasha. So the absence of Hargasha, according to Shammai, is proof positive that she didn't see Dam. There was no Dam. And the Gemara now raises the following question. Well, wait a minute. In the case of Ksamim, by definition, that's what the word Ksamim means, there was no Hargasha. I mean, Ksamim is finding Dam without Hargasha. And yet, the Mishnah establishes that she's Tmei l'mafreya. Is that halacha? Does that halacha undermine Shammai? Again, Shammai is a Tana, so you can argue with the Mishnah, but it doesn't seem, on the face of it, that Mishnah is going to Hillel and against Shammai. So Abai says that Shammai will agree in the case of Ksamim. Why will Shammai agree in the case of Ksamim? So comes along Abaye with a brilliant chap, and I believe that this Gemara of Abaye is the source for the Tosis Rid that we're discussing today. What does Abai say? Abai says that in the case of Kesem, if I can create a Metzius in which I know that the Dam came in a Makar, correct? It didn't come from anywhere else. If I can exclude any possibilities, then I don't know, in other words, I don't know when this Dam came out. The fact that there's no Hargasha, which for Shammai is generally speaking a proof positive that she's not Tmei l'mafreya, that's not true in this case. Again, I may have said it too abstract. Let's see it inside. It'll be a little easier for us to chap around. He says the following. Omar Abaye, Moda Shammai b'ksamim, my timer. Now take a look at this. We've touched on this in the past, but now we see it in the makar, in the source. Bitsipolonisaska. She didn't have anything to do with birds, and maybe birds means any sort of an animal or a bug or something that had dam in it. Ubishukshal tabakam lo avra. In other words, this woman who finds a kesem could testify that this dam certainly did not come neither from a tzipor nor from a shukshal tabachim. You know, it wasn't that she was walking.
I'm not sure.
Well,
Good.
So we're going to have to see about Maka as well. But right now, according to Abaye, once you've excluded these two possibilities, then you know that the dam came in Amokar. If you know the dam came in Amokar, then even Shammai would drop the requirement of Hargosha. Because why does Shammai yell and scream, well, where was the Hargosha? You know, you want to be Metamil Mafreya, how can you do so? She didn't have any Hargosha. That's only because, maybe, perhaps, she went through a Shuk Shel Tabochim, and maybe she went through this. But if Lu Yitzuya, there was no Hargosha, but she didn't go through a Shuk Shel Tabochim, she wasn't Misaseg Bir, Tziporim, then even Shmuel would say we have to go back in history. Even Shammai would say we have to go back in history, and the absence of Hargosha would not block me from Tumul of Afreya. But what's fascinating to me about this sugya of Abaye is that it clearly indicates that the issue of Hargosha, or specifically the absence of Hargosha, is totally dependent upon or defined by the possibility that if she didn't have, that's why didn't she have Hargosha? Because the dam came from somewhere else. Says Abaye, if Shammai is based on the fact that the absence of Hargosha indicates that the dam came from somewhere else, Lu Yitzuya, I have no reason to be choshesh, the dam came from somewhere else, we've excluded X and Y, then even Shammai would accept that the absence of Hargosha is not a proof positive that she didn't have a Re'ia L'mafreya earlier in time, and therefore even Shammai would be Matami L'mafreya. So the mission of Ksamim is not a steer, it doesn't undermine the sheet of Shammai. Even Shammai can accept the Mishnah of Ksamim, because in the case of a Kesem, she testifies to the fact that Dam didn't come from here, it didn't come from here, and therefore came from me. There was no Argosha. Who cares if there was no Argosha? And Rabbo said, this brings us back to the Tosus Rib, which I enjoy very much, so I'm going to read it again. Says the Tosus Rib, Keva Chalor Gisha is Tahora Hiti Emer Lo Bod Kiyofa. In the case where she sat on karka, we have reason to suspect that the dam was there on the karka before she sat down. She made a vidika. The Torah says no. The Torah says she didn't have Hargosha. We have to assume that her vidika was not a good vidika. Again, this doesn't answer our question about Sofek. I'm not coming to answer that question. That question still is withstanding. How could it be that Amar Lobot Kiyof, and therefore even the Torah that prohibits a Sofek would now permit it? That question still remains outstanding. But what I do understand now is, where is the Tosus Rid coming from? Why did he wake up one morning and he got out of bed and he said, you know what? She didn't check the karka. What do you mean she didn't check the karka? She checked the karka. The answer is that I have a steerer here. On the one hand, I find that she checked the karka. On the other hand, she didn't have Argosha. So how do I reconcile these two? Does everyone accept both? A, the fact that she did have Argosha means that the dam came from somewhere else. B, but she did make a bedikah in this karka, so where could the dam have possibly fallen from? It must have been there before it, but how can you say she was there before it if she made a bedikah? So the Argosha is telling me that the dam was there before it. And the bedikah is telling me that the dam was not there before him. And the answer is, she didn't do a good bedikah. And why did the Tosus Rid find his agenda to go into such a difficult point, to say that she didn't do a good bedikah? It's like if somebody would tell me, Berzon, it was Leil Pesach and you did a bedikah chametz, you didn't do a good bedikah, do another bedikah. I would tell him to go fly a kite. She did a good bedikah. She didn't find out. No, a woman. So where did Tosus Rid come from? So what I'm suggesting is that this sugya, which is a very famous sugya to try to reconcile Shammai with the din of Ksavim, says Abaye, because she didn't go into a shuk shel tabachim. She didn't play around with Sipporim, and therefore even Shammai would agree that the absence of Argosha is to be shelved, and it's not a proof. And therefore even Shammai would be metamei l'mafreya. That itself is proof positive that the absence of Hargosha is a fact of life, a reality that's going to lead us to suspect that the dam came from somewhere else. And here I want to learn with you the Gemara here on Daf Nun Zayin on the bottom. You know what? Even before we see that Gemara, Nun Zayin on the base, if you can keep that in front of you, I want to take a look at the Rav Shulchan Aruch. So that should be, hopefully, on the flip side of your page. Now, what you have to know about the Rav Shulchan Aruch is that the text of the in this particular printing, that's not the printing that I own, I have an old version, but the text of the Shulchan Aruch of the Rav is on the left column, not all the way on the left, but you know, the left going up and down, that major column, and basically Kuf Tzadi is the Siman in Shulchan Aruch that's dedicated to Ksamim. And the Rav Shulchan Aruch points out that when we study Ksamim, we have to know that we're dealing with Tumah Derabbanan. Dvar Torah Eino Isha Metama V'lo Asur Levayla Ad Shetargish Yotza Dami B'sora. And that's our Sugya Nun Zayin Amid Beis. Okay, we could have written the Baragola here, right? Without looking. Memra Deshmuel Nida Nun Zayin Amid Beis. And he says, V'chachamim Gazru Al Kesem and into the Gufa Obib Gadeha Sheet Meya. Now it says the Gufa, we're gonna have to, that's a whole nother sugya, where in Gufa. If it's Keneged Beis HaTorfa, then that might be in Tuma Doraisa. But let's say Begufa somewhere on her goof. Is therefore the Rabbanan instituted a Tuma Derabbanan without Hargasha called Ksamim. The Asura Labaila, the Rabbanan said that she's considered like a Nida, Afil Lo Hergisha. Even though she didn't feel it. And that Kesem, again, with all the conditions set down here in Sima Kuf Tzadi about which Kesem is Metame her, assuming all those conditions were met, she's Asura Labaila, has basically the same status as a Nida, and she needs Zion Nikiyim, even though there was no Argosha, even if she checks herself and she finds herself to be Tahora, is then she counts Shiva Nikiyim, and fine. Now, the commentary of the Shulchan Aruch himself here, of the Rav Shulchan Aruch, is here in the right column. You know, it's a little bit misleading because, you know, if you didn't know it, you might have thought that this is some later commentary. This is the Shulchan Aruch himself. And he writes the following. Again, there's a long piece over here. And what I'm going to try to do is I'm going to try to have all of us highlight certain parts of this long presentation, and those are the parts that I think are most relevant to us. The first part is not relevant to us. He talks about why we could be making Ksamim in the case of a Beget Savua, in the case of a Dover Shein HaMakabel Tuma, all because since she didn't have Hargasha, so therefore it's only Tuma Derabbanan. And the Rabbanan made these limitations and circumscribed the Tumah of Ksum. Fine. Then he writes the following. Okay, I think the most important point for us is V'taimah. Okay, it's about, again, roughly 10 lines down. It's probably a little less. The first word in the line is V'taimah. Do you have that? That's what I'd like to emphasize. V'taima. Now, without quoting the Tosis Rid, which again I don't know the history of it. I'm not a scholar, a Talmudic scholar in that sense. I'm not a scientist. I suspect that the Rav Shulchan Aruch was not aware of the Tosis Rid. Otherwise, I'm convinced he would have quoted the Tosis Rid, because he now wants to give us an understanding of the entire din of Ksamim and why the absence of Hargasha downgrades, so to speak, the Tumah from Doraisa to the Rabban. V'taima, mishum de'ikol ameimar, we should throw out the possibility, consider the possibility, of Amar perhaps me'alma asa kesem zeh. And he quotes, if you notice, in the parentheses, the Tosis Yontif. the Tosas Yontif was not that long before the Rav Shulchan Aruch, like about a century. And it's very fascinating that Tosas Yontif was already, his name was Heller, I think. He was so widespread, you know, as because again, they didn't have Kahati Mishnayis. So Mishnayis back in the day meant the Bar Tnur and the Tosas Yontif, and then later the Yochanu Boaz, you know, the Teferis. He says the following. Lav mi gufahu, please underline this, because again, I think this is absolutely, absolutely critical, and it's identical to what we saw in the Tosas Rid. You know, Tosas Rid 1,000 years, well, not 1,000, but you know, 800 years before the Rav Shulchan Aruch. And basically what they're all saying is that if she finds dam without Hargosha, we have to ask ourselves, raise the question, where did this dam come from? And perhaps Lav Migufahu. The Shemin is Aska Biksamim. Right, so the Gemara there in Abaye, right, you remember there Abaye says that, well, she knows that she wasn't a Sasek Biksamim, right? So the answer is, okay, she wasn't a Sasek Bitsipar, she wasn't in a Shuk Shel Tabachim, but maybe she was in a Sasek Biksamim. Now, Rav Osai, what does that mean? So you can take it literally if you like. I'm going to try to prove, not today, but in, you know, as we go along, that Nisasek B'Ksamim means that she had different garments. She doesn't exactly remember when she wore what and which garments were already used. They, you know, it's not like today. You know, we change our clothes daily. You know, they didn't have the sophisticated methods of cleaning clothes that we do. And Nisasek B'Ksamim means you don't know whether this is a bona fide kesem. There are a lot of things going on. And she didn't pay attention that this beged was a beged that was already soiled and stained in the past. Oh. But now, and here's the punchline, which I want you to underline. I think, if I can, again, you can fight with me, but I would put a carrot in here. You know, a little, I think there's a little piece left out here. You know, somebody wrote a book on what bothers Rashi, okay? So I'm writing a book on what bothered the Rav Shulchan Aruch. I think he's answering a question here. He's saying, you gotta give me a break over here. Shema nis'aska b'ksamim v'lava daita. That's a knapper possibility. And even if I grant you that I want to recognize that possibility, at the end of the day, it only gives me what? A suffix, correct? And we know that a suffix d'oraisa is l'chumra. And he's not going to say the shtickle Torah that suffix d'oraisa l'chumra is only d'rabbanan. See, he wants to justify the downgrading of the tumah of ksamim from a d'oraisa to the rabbanan. And he says, well, the Torah says, well, she didn't have argosh. We have to start thinking, where did the dam come from? Right? Where did this dam come from if she didn't have argosh? He says, all right, let's ask him ksamim v'lava daite. You know, all right, even if I grant you that is a valid point and it's a possibility, how plausible, how feasible is it? And are you going to tell me that Rov Noshim have this situation that they would nisaska v'ksamim v'lavatai? So look at the next line. He writes, v'afilim timtzalomer migufa. And even if you're going to tell me that this dam came out of her guf, Ema, he says, Shema min Aliyahu. Now, you may recall that we once mentioned that there's something called Dam min Aliyah, and that's above the Makar, and that Dam is not technically Dam Nida, it's not Mitamiyah, it doesn't ask a Levaila. Even though, as he's going to point out, Rashi says we always assume that when a woman gets Dam coming out of her body, we don't assume it's Dam min Aliyah, but he says, nevertheless, it is at least a tzad, you know, is at least a possibility that we should reckon with. In other words, Rav Osai, and we've had svaras like this in the past, but I was very excited to see it here in the Rav Shulchan Aruch, that what principle is he operating with? Svek Sveika. In other words, you burst on with bothered, well, wait a minute, okay, aimer this and aimer that, shkoyah. But that only gives you a suffix to oraisa. No, I have to add another suffix. So again, what the Rav Shulchan Aruch is saying over here is, and we have to see why these two sfeikas, you know, combine together to form a downgrade force from d'oraisa to d'rabbanan. That number one, I always have to raise the possibility if she didn't have argosha that the dam came from somewhere else, and that we saw already where in the Tosis Riz. So here he didn't discover America, so to speak. But he says that's not enough. He's still not convinced that that would produce the downgrade that we're looking for from the Oraisa Drabbanan. And therefore he adds another possibility that maybe it was Damin Aliyah. And when I combine these two possibilities, I'm able to achieve my downgrade, as I call it.
Oh. Why isn't that the same thing? The same suffix.
You mean it's Kula Shem Chadahu? It's like one Shem suffix.
Right.
Well, he's saying the following, that even if it's Dam Migufa, meaning Dam Migufa is not Dam Mina Alma. So even Afilu Tutsomit, it's Dam Migufa, not every Dam Migufa is Tomei. There's a special, the Torah, the Gemara derives from a special pasuk that Dam Min Aliyah is not Mitame. So that itself is a new category. But again, I have to tell you honestly, Alan, the Rav Shulchan Aruch doesn't say the word Sveksik. And I'll tell you why I point this out to you. Because the next line in the Rav Shulchan Aruch indicates to me that he's not really dealing with Sveksik. What does he say in the next line? He says, "Hachadika lememar mi alma asi." He says, "Shahar be domim mitzuyim ba'olam." Again, he's trying to beef it up over here. This downgrade from the Raisa down to the Rabbanan. And he's saying, you know what? Maybe Rashi is of the opinion, and it's quoted in Siman Kuf Pei Gimel, that we're not really serious about dam min ha aliyah. That's not a serious consideration. But you know what? Look at the Velt. There are many, many different places where there are Dam in the Velt, right? Dam is not limited. So therefore, if she finds Dam in a Kesem, Harbe Dam in Mitsuyim Ba'ola, and therefore, Lo Azlin and Basa Ruba de Makar. Now, he says the following. Again, I stopped in the middle of the sentence, but deliberately. He's saying like this. Yeah, there's a lot of Dam out there in the Velt. You know, the Rove Dam in Ba'ola. But Rove Domim on a Kesem is Min HaMakar. And therefore we should go Basa Rove Min HaMakar, and that should trump the Rove Domim Ba'ol. Oh, but look at the next two words. And I think here he's really sort of revealing the secret card that he's been holding close to his chest. Neged HaChazaka. And he spells it out. Varinon Hamed Isha Achizkos. He says, you know what? In statistical probabilities, I have to admit, the chances are that this dam on a kesem came from an amokar. Right? Rove domim in amokar. And although there's a lot of dam out there in the veld, you know, come on, give it a break. What are the chances? I would say that the rove domim in amokar trumps all those possibilities. And certainly, according to Rashi, dam min halim. But here we have to introduce another consideration, and that is Chazaka. And what he's saying is like this, I think. When we have a rove against the Chazaka, the rule is that rove defeats the Chazaka. If we were absolutely convinced, or let's say it this way, if the Torah would have been absolutely convinced that we really have rove damim min amakar, then the Cheskas Tara of the Isha would be trumped. It would be defeated. Because Ruba v'chazaka Ruba Adif. But once we have the possibility of Dam Mina Alma, again, as rare of a possibility that is, but add that to the Chazaka, and now you're able to defeat the Ruba.
If you say Ruba v'chazaka Ruba Ruba Adif,
why not always say, excellent, why not always say it consistently that smoke miyuta lechazaka, and therefore
chazaka beats it.
The hamid ishal cheskasa. So why do we say no? The rove defeats the chazaka, and the answer is because Rabosa, here we have what I call tarti lutevusa. Again, it's not the language of the Rav Shulchan Aruch. But what we're doing is we first of all we're analyzing rove within the perspective of rove, even before we introduce the Cheskas Tara, we have a complication here with this rove. Correct? He says the following. Ruba de Makar. Correct? We know that the Makar gives out Dam. There are other places in the world which are sources of Dam. We cannot pinpoint any particular Makar and say, you know, that's the source of this Dam. It came from other Ksamim, it came from here, it came from there. And obviously, in this battle, so to speak, between these two roves, Rove Dam the Alma, you know, the larger volume of Dam is out there in the world, and Rove Dam in Amakar, if we only had that battleground, if that was the boxing match, then there's no doubt that Rove Dam in Amakar would win out. But it's enough to weaken the Rove. This reminds you a little bit of the concept that we mentioned last week about Rove She'eino Gomor, if anybody recalls that. And again, I think what we're operating with is already, even before we introduce the Chazaka, a process in which we weaken the Rove. So if you have an absolute Rove that is uncontested, if there's such a word, right? There's no one contesting that Rove. I don't have another Rove against that Rove. That's the Rove that's Adif, that's preferable and defeats a chazaka ruba adif. I'm trying to remember the sugi of Basra and the case over there of an absolute rove. Just 1 second. Okay, it'll come to me. It has to do with Hegla Ruf over there. And well, I'll get back to you on that, believe me there. But I don't want to hold us up for that. And therefore, he says the following, that if the Rove Dam Min HaMakor is contested by the Rove Dam Min HaAlma, it's able to weaken the Rove such that we have what I call a significant miut. And a significant miut, which weakens a Rove, is enough to join and link up with the power of what? Of Chazaka. Again, all this has to be obviously studied, you know, in great detail. So, Rabosai, what we have so far, just to take a sikum beinayim, is number one, that we saw from the Sugya Daf Gimel that the whole problem and the whole issue of lack of hargasha is because maybe the dam came in a alma. If we could exclude dam in a alma, for example, a bayi situation where there was no this and there was no that, then the absence of hargasha would not make any difference. But as a general rule, not the exceptional cases, the lack of hargasha leads me down the road that dam came in a alma. And that's what the Tosfos Rid says, that if she checked the karka, and now, because she didn't have hargasha, we assume that dam came from some other source than her body, but she just made a bedika on the karka, we're going to have to assume that the bedika was not a good bedika. Aye, but you'll ask me, okay, so let's reduce it to at least a safek d'oraisa. So here's where we introduce a victorious Rav Shulchan Aruch. Why does this give us a banner of victory? Because the Rav Shulchan Aruch says to downgrade from d'oraisa to rabbanon, it's enough that we weaken the rove that tells me that, come on, what do you mean she didn't do a bedika and the dam was there beforehand? That's weak. Ah, rove dam in amokar. Against that we have rove dam in alma. Add that to weaken the rove and go back to Chezkas Ha'isha B'Tarasa, and the Torah says that it's Mutter. And the bottom line of this whole discussion, whether you're talking about the Sugya of Abaye or Daf Kimmel, whether you're talking about the Tosus Ridi or Nun Zayin, whether you're talking about the Rav Shulchan Aruch here in Kuf Pei Dalet, it all comes to the following, to the ultimate bottom line. We call it in Yiddish the Utish Teshura. And that is that if she doesn't have Hargasha, the Torah is going to tell us that we should tip the scale in favor of raising a possibility that the dam came in off. Now, the Moreshes Moshe quotes here a Sidrei Tara. I did not get a chance to research this, but he claims that this Sidrei Tara is supported by the Binas Adam. Does anybody here know who the Binas Adam is? What do you say? Danzig. Is that what you said? Yeah, Rav Avram Danzig, right? The author of the Chayon and the Chochmas Adam. So on the Chochmas Adam on Yoredei, he has a super commentary. Again, it's not another, it's his own commentary called the Binas Adam. And it's a fantastic sefer, and we have to get a hold of it. And he quotes the Sidrei Tara and the whatchamacallit, the Binas Adam. They want to introduce, again, all based on this Tosfos Rid, apparently, although he doesn't quote the Tosfos Rid, but this Mahalach that we said, introduce another variable into the equation. And he says the following. that, you know what, raising the possibility that the dam came in a alma, that's fine and dandy. But at the end of the day, it's only a suffix. So what does this suffix do for me? You want to call it a tumas suffix d'oraisa? Call it a suffix tumas d'oraisa. Don't leave out the word d'oraisa. So the absence of argosha will still lead us to the same conclusion, namely that we're dealing with the d'oraisa. And he says, the proof of the pudding is, and we mentioned this at the outset, that Shmuel derives the halach, the absence of hargosha, from what? Not from Sfarah, but from a pasuk, from a Yalfusa. He says, you see that something new is going on over here. If it was just a Sfarah, you know, the way the Rav Shulchan Aruch presents it, and that's what the impression we got from the Tosfos Rid, you know, there's a serious possibility that Dam came in Alma, and she has a Cheskas Tara, and the whole nine yards. So why did Shmuel need a pasuk for that? Again, I have an answer to that question, but the Sidrei Tara and the Bina Sodom have their own answer. And they quote various parshiyos in the Torah where the Torah says we need absolute vados, and if there's no vados, it doesn't even scratch the surface. The Rabbanan very often in those cases will be choshesh. What do they quote? Who can guess the classical... were you here when we studied... Well, we studied Chuppah v'Kiddushin. No, that was in the Kol. Okay, fine. There's a whole siman in Shulchan Aruch about what's called Psulei Kahal. Those who are not allowed to enter into Kal Yisrael. In other words, a Jewish boy can't, who's Jewish technically, but he can't marry a Jewish girl or vice versa. That's called what? A mamzer. And the law is, on a Doraisa level, again, the Rabbanan are nervous about this. They created something called Suffolk mamzer. But on a total level, it's called Mamzer Vadai Velo Mamzer Suffolk. And it's fascinating, because what that tells me is that if you have a Suffolk Mamzer, there's no din of what? We suspend what principle? Suffolk D'Oraisa L'Chumra. And he's Mutter, or she's Muteres, Betoris Vadai. That's on a D'Oraisa level. Any other examples that come to mind? He gives the example of a Mamzer. Arl. In Arla, there's a halach that Suffolk Arla's mutter on a Doraisa level. Also derived from Xeris HaKosov. So it's fascinating that in some situations or areas of halach, the Torah demands of Ados and basically suspends the principle of Suffolk Doraisa L'chumra. Oh, I'll give you another case. Maisa Behema. Right, the Gemara says, Asirei Suffolk, Velo Asirei. Asire vade, velo asire suffix. You have a famous case in Bava Metzia of
counting 9, 11.
Correct. What's it called? Kafatz echad min haminuyim. Remember? So he counts, and before he gets to number 10, one of the animals that was already counted and left the deer jumps back into the deer. So Gemara says the whole thing is mutter. And we don't apply the principle of kol kavur kevetz al mechzadami, which would lead us to a suffix, because the halach is asire vade, velo asire suffix. Comes along the Sidrei Tara. And the Venus Adam, I mean, these are Achronim who lived a century and change ago. You're not going back to the Rishonim. They want to claim that that's what Shmuel is telling me. That Shmuel derives from the Pasuk Bibsara that we have to have an absolute Vados, and anything less than Vadai is not a Nidah. So again, keep in mind that these Achronim are not rejecting the Tosfos Rid, but that it's a different take on the Tosfos Rid. They're not rejecting all these svaras that we saw, that maybe this and maybe that, she didn't do a good bedikah, she walked through a shuk shel tabachim, maybe
you
she
don't need any of that. You don't need any of that.
No, you do need it, but only to create a suffix. Do you follow? It's not the way that the Rav Shulchan Aruch says that, you know what, that suffix is built on the fact that we have a Ruba di Alma and there's most Rove out there in the world, and she has a Cheskes Tara. According to Sidrei Tara, drop the ball on all that. All they need is one point, that there's a possibility that Dam came in Alma. Once I grant you that possibility, then all the other questions fall out. What do you get? Oh, okay, Dam in Alma, who are you kidding? And how is that going to impact on Rov Dami Min HaMakar, and not only that, but Sofik Doraisa L'Chumra. You know, all the questions that we ask, they want to shelve and completely circumvent all those questions. How? By applying the principle called, again, that they're inventing in the 19th century, Tuma Nida Vadai Velo Tumas Nida Sofik. I looked in Shas, I didn't find. That's how they understand Shmuel. What Shmuel derived from the pasuk b'Bsara is that the absence of Hargasha leads me to a Safek, and even if you'll tell me that that Safek is weak, and even if you'll tell me that Safek cannot put a dent on Rov Damim Mimakara, it doesn't matter. You've granted me it's a Safek. The Torah now institutes the requirement of Vadai, and without a Vadai, she's not to me. Unbelievable. No, I was very excited about this because I see how the human creative mind is operating here, you know, within the framework of Shas. He writes in the name of the Sidrei Tara, HaTorah Gazra Shekol Dam She Lo Mevurar Legamre Shegia Migufa Lo Mevurar. The word Bir means certainty. Shegia Migufa Eina Metave. Beautiful.
That's better than saying plain Xeris HaKasu.
Correct, because again, it's a Xeris HaKasu that's based on the fact that perhaps the Dam came in out.
But what do you need that for? Xeris HaKasu is Xeris HaKasu, right?
Because they're operating within the framework of the Gemara Nida. That when is the absence of Hargasha meaningful? When we have a possibility that it came from some other source. Once we exclude all those possibilities, right? That's the Gemara back on Daf Gimel. Then Enechinam, the absence of Hargasha doesn't mean a thing. So they're all predicated on that Sugya Daf Gimel, which we saw here on Zion in the name of the Tosus Rid, that Emar Lo Bodka. Again, it doesn't say in the Gemara Emar Lo Bodka, but again, if the Dam is on Karka, that's called Min Alma. The Dam came onto the Karka from somewhere. Okay, but come on. That doesn't do it for me. And here's where they apply the principle of Vadai Velo Velo Sofik. Then he goes on and he quotes the Chassam Sofer. And the Chassam Sofer has a different take. And hopefully at some point, I'm not ready for today because I don't know the answer to this question, but we want to calculate all the nafkaminas to these three approaches. And all these three approaches are based on the following premise, as I call it, the Yuntas Shashura, that the absence of Hargasha tells me that the Dam came from some other source. Says the Chassam Sofer, listen to this, the punchline, again, it's a long presentation, but I'm going to give you the punchline and then maybe we'll fill in some of the missing blanks. He says that Ika Chazaka, he creates a brand new Chazaka, the Chassam Sofer, She Yitzias Dam Ba'a Al Yidei Hargosh. That Dam in a Mokar has to come with Hargosh. That's a Chazaka. In other words, somewhere in the Torah's understanding of the universe, of the physiology of it, of biology of it, Dam that comes with Amok comes with Hargosha. Therefore, he says, Al Kain, Im Adam Lo Baba Hargosha, is then Yeshlanu Lomar Shadam Higia Min Ha'al. So again, whereas, again, just to see the contrast, and the Chiddush and the Chassam Sofer, as opposed to the Rav Shulchan Aruch and the Sidrei Tara and the Binas Adam, as opposed to the first two approaches that we said, which are basically predicated on the fact that, yeah, maybe the Dam came in Alma. And there's no real logic that, let's say, compels me to think that Dam came in Alma. The Tosfos just says, you know, well, Emer lo bodka, I mean Yafa on the character, that's a very weak argument. The Rav Shulchan Aruch simply says that, you know what, this Rov Dam Ba'alma, that, you know, if you calculate the volume of blood in the veldt, you know, there's more blood out there than there is in Har Mokar. The Sidrei Tara and the Binas Adam, they don't even have a reason why, logically, we should be compelled to raise this possibility that Dam came in Alma. So you can always tell me that maybe Shul Shal Shal Kabach, maybe Davinat Zipor, maybe she was Misasek B'Ksomim, all that kind of stuff. The Chassam Sofer avoids that whole thing. Says the Chassam Sofer, you know why we're afraid that Dam came in Alma? Because she didn't have Hargosh. The very fact that she didn't have Hargosh means that the Dam wouldn't have come from Amok. And he is so convinced about the, pardon the pun, the strength of that chazaka, that he says, therefore, that we have to downgrade this tuma from a doraisa to a drabbanon. The rabbanon are not willing to rely on that, on the strength of that chazaka, that, okay, if she didn't have, she, you know why she didn't have Hargosha? Because the dam didn't come from her body. Now, Bli Neder, one of the nafkaminas that I want, you know, when we get to this, I'm not, again, this is fast forward, that I want to get to, is that the poskim write that in our days, and this goes back probably about a century ago, in our days, women don't feel a hargash. There are very few women today that feel a hargash. The Chazon Ish already, 50 years ago, says that even if a woman has a veset, chances are that you don't rely on a veset. The whole biology has changed over the course of time.
You don't rely on a veset.
He says that even, that 50, he, again, he says 50% of the women in the world who have a veset don't have a veset. Meaning that veset will change over the course of time. So again, we're not doing vestos. That I'm doing with the kollel now on Tuesday nights. You're all invited. But in vestos, there's a famous comment in the Chazon Ish about Bizman Hazeh. Vestos means, imagine, a woman on three consecutive months sees dam exactly at the same time. 9 a.m. in Rosh Chodesh, you know? She has a veses kavua dry mol for the morning of Rosh Chodesh, 3 months in a row. Right, we'll call it Adar, Nisan. Adar and Tishrei and Cheshvan, 3 months in a row. Says the Chazon Ish, 50% of the women will drop that veset during the course of their life. There'll be emotions, there'll be joys, there'll be sorrows, there'll be jumping, there'll be fishing. I don't know what, you know. He says that today women are different than they were back in the time, and there are halachic dafkaminas to that. And I'm just going to tell you that poskim, even before the Chazon Ish, apply the same kind of logic with regard to hargosh. Maybe back in the day, hargosh was a pretty reliable chazok, a woman with nida coming to the dam, coming to the mokka, is hargosh. So if the Chasam Sofer is putting all the emphasis here on the absence of hargosh as a proof positive that it wasn't dam in a mokka, I wonder what the Chasam Sofer would say 150 years later, In Tafshin Ayin Omos Zayin, you know, I think that's what we're holding by, right? Okay. Ayin Zayin Rashi Tevis Azaria, that's the beginning of it. Okay, fine. So therefore again, the Im Hoya Adam Ba Migufa is Hoysa Tzricha Laharkish. That's the Chasam Sofer. But again, for our purposes today, Rabosai, we're leaving out the Nafkiminas, all three approaches are Hayuha. They all are predicated on the assumption that Shmuel's pasuk is telling me that there's a suffer. We don't know if the dam came min amukah. And now, Rabosai, I want to show you the Ramban. You have page 3?
Doesn't it sound like he's very political, saying Zeres HaKasuk?
Is it defining?
No, he doesn't really give me the kash on the Chasam Sofer, Alan, is this kash. You know, why do we need Xeris HaKosim? You're telling me there's, you know, why does the Torah have to reveal the existence of this Chazoka? That's a little bit of a weak point. But the Chazoka that the Torah is predicated on is if she didn't have Argosha, the Dam came from somewhere else.
Yeah, well, that's
okay. Says the Ramban, which you'll see on page 3.
Rashba.
That's right here in our Sugya. It's not on page 3?
Yeah.
Yes. Yeah, no Ches. Okay, we didn't get to the sugya, as I told you, to Zion on the base on the bottom, going on to Nuches Amud Aleph, the sugya of Rashi and Rav Difti, Rabbi Yehuda Bar Difti. That will come to Bli Neder. But first I want to do the Ramban. Because the Ramban is a total, in my opinion, a total rejection of the Tosfos Rid and all the shittas that are based on the Tosfos Rid. Says the Ramban, Ksamim derabbananhem. Vafilu biyadua shemigufa chazoi. Dvar Torah Tahora. Translation? In our lingo, in the Briscoe language?
No,
I'm saying, what principle basically applies according to Ramban? We know that the dam came from where? From Haguf?
Yeah.
She's Tahora? Give me two words. Starts with the gimel.
Zeresakosu.
That's what the Ramban is saying. He's rejecting everything that we said before, and he does so very explicitly. He says, "Afal gavdi adua demigufa chazoi." Forget the whole business here. Again, he wasn't here to hear the shiur, but if he was sitting here, he would have said, Rabbi Berzon, You just wasted an hour of your time.
What is
because everything you said in the last hour is totally incorrect. It's all Bubba Meisen. Again, you can't tell me it's Bubba Meisen because I'm relying on the Tosfos Rid and all the Achronim who relied on the Tosfos Rid. That Amar Mi'alma Kasi, that we have to figure out where this Dam came from because maybe it didn't come from a goof. Either because there's so much Dam Mi'alma or because the Torah requires Vaday and not a Suffolk, and here we have a Suffolk, and we have a Suffolk because why didn't she feel the Dam coming out? Forget about all that. That has nothing to do with our issue. All that, says the Rabban, is secondary and irrelevant. It's irrelevant. I know the Dam came Migufa.
But she had no argosha.
She had no argosha. She's Tahor.
So what do you do with the Chazon Ish? How does he understand the Rabban? Because times change?
Well, let me go over the Chazon Ish. Wait, you caught me a little off guard here. The Chazon Ish, they mentioned about Vestos.
Women don't have argoshas.
Oh, the Chazanish doesn't talk about our goshes. We'll find it in other posts. Yeah, the poskim who say that Bizman has said we don't have our goshes, right?
How could they say something like
that? Yeah, that's not the Rambam. Excellent. So again, that's why I'm telling you, even the Chassam Sofer, who engenders this new svara, that the fact that she didn't have our gosha proves that it came the Alma, that's not going to help me in the Ramban, right? Because the Ramban is telling me that even if you have reason to be absolutely certain that the Dam came Gufa, and there's no suffering that it came the Alma, for this reason the Torah says she's Tahor. And it's fascinating to me that the Rashba took the Ramban, you know, the Rashba was the Talmud of the Ramban, and he took it to the extreme. Because l'chora, I have a Gemara, black on white, that says like the Tosfos Rid against the Rambam. Take a look at Daf Nun Ches Amud Aleph, right before the two dots. And the Gemara says, you'll see the first word in the line is Asa. Does everybody have that? How many lines down is it from the top? Somebody could quickly calculate that. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7. 8 lines down from the top of Nun Ches. Are we on the same page? Afilu, listen to the Gemara's language. Afilu karka de mivdak shapir. She checked the karka very well. Ikola meimar de migufa asya tahar. Now, Rabosai, who could translate two words for me? Ikola meimar. What does ikola meimar mean, Rabosai? Hello, anybody home? Knock, knock. What does Ikol Meimar mean? Is that a Vaday or a Safek? Ikol Meimar is a Safek. Ikol Meimar is a Safek. The Gemara is telling us the secret, which is the Tosfos Rid, that the reason why down below our Gosha is not Metame Midoraisa is because Ikol Meimar, there's a possibility that maybe Lav Migufa El Mi'alma Ka'asi. It's a state beferush. It's explicit in the Gemara that the reason why the absence of hargosha is downgrades the tumah to a darabanan, and the Torah doesn't recognize her as a tmeya, as a nida, is because of this ikala meimer. If you don't have the ikala meimer, there's nothing to talk about. We predicate the absence of hargosha being tahora midoraisa on the fact that ikala meimer. Mi'alma, black and white. The Rashba, and I'll finish with this, Alan, is so upset about this because the Rabban is saying even if there's no equal of Meimar, we know for sure it came Migufa, nevertheless she's Tahora. Says the Rashba, and I quote, you have it on page 3, number Tes. Ha de ka'amar bigamara. I added the inverted commas here. Ela filu karka de mivduk shapir vi ikol and meimer migufa asya. I added a word here with tatame. Tahor. Right? The Torah is mechadish that she's tahor. Why? Because ikol and meimer migufa, which means that maybe it came migufa, but maybe it came min alma. Correct? He says, hi lishna de ka'omar. The Gemara's use of the language ikol and meimer migufa asya. Lav Dafka. Rabosa, if I would have said this, they'd put me in favor. Only the Rashba could get away with this and tell you that the Gemara is Lav Dafka. Elavadai mi gufa asya. And even so, the Gemara says she's Tahora. Umishum. So now he tries to backtrack. He says, so why does the Gemara use the language Ikal and Meimar? So he gives one of these, either the Ketani Reisha, Ketani Seifa. You know, what I call the symmetry, the literary symmetry. But He's explicitly bothered by our kasha. Here is a Gemara black on white, like the Tosis Rid, and all those who followed and stood on the shoulders of the Tosis Rid without knowing it. Namely, that the reason why Dabla Argosha is Tahora Midorais is because Amar Mialvakasi. And the Gemara says it explicitly. Maybe Kemi Gufa, maybe Kemi Alma. The Torah's Machadi said, since it may have Kemi Alma, therefore she's Tahora. Name. Take out those words, Ikalme, put an X into it. When you cross it off, do a beautiful job, put the line right in the middle, and do a very meticulous job, because really it means, Lav Dafka means Vadai Mi Gufa Mi, even if I know for sure it's Mi Gufa Mi Al, it's Mi Gufa Kasya, nevertheless she's Tahora. And that's what we call a Gzeras HaKosuv. Alan, you want to say something?
And I just wanted to know, maybe it makes no difference, and maybe it's absolutely equal to say Mi Gufa Mi Mikora. But why doesn't he? It would make it a sharper if the Ramban said that even if we know Mimikora that it came,
right,
then we would say that would be an absolute Xeris Akasa.
As opposed to what, like Min Aliyah?
Migufa could be, totally, maybe she has a Maka, maybe she has an Aliyah.
That was Daniel's question from before.
There's a million things that Migufa just means that.
Well, the truth is, again, we didn't get to this yet, but Maka is only in a case where she has a Maka.
Well, that's because you're talking about a Maka that's a Gluya or a Nigla.
Well, no, it's covered over, but it's Efshar. No. Ligola. Again, Ligola is not to reveal, it's with an eye in it.
Yeah.
You know, that it could, in other words, it's got a scam on it or whatever.
Right.
But I think, in my humble opinion right now, until I'm proven otherwise, is that the word Migufa means, you know, Mimikora. Okay. That's what they're saying.
Okay, that's
and the Chiddush here, the Ramban, and the Rashba standing on the shoulders of the Ramban, is that forget about all your Torahs here and racking your brains that the absence of Argosha leads me to believe that the Dam came Mi'alma. Forget about all that. The Dam came Migufa. Now, look, if I blow a shofar in Rosh Hashanah, the Rambam says that's Gzeres HaKosav. Okay? But yet the Rambam goes on, a very famous Rambam, this is not a drasha, by the way, that you'll have to come to hear me on Rosh Hashanah if you want to hear my drasha for Rosh Hashanah, but the Rambam is famous for saying, but Remez Yeshva Bedover, you know, that, and you'll find many, many Mefarshim who will try to tackle this question. I don't know if it's worth your time, wasting your time on this, but, you know, saying different drushes about why the shofar and blah, 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 and so forth and so on. I mean, if you want, the one piece that I saw that was a little bit interesting to me, if you want to read it, is from Rav Huttner in his book called, Pachad Yitzchak. Okay, so he takes a stab at this Gzeres HaKosav of shofar. So what I heard from my Rebbe, Rav Soloveitchik, is that when you give a reason for a Gzeres HaKosuv, that's Pasul Treif. You cannot give reasons for a Gzeres HaKosuv. Again, it may belong to the Mar Nevuchim, you know, you're trying to convince someone who's outside of the Pale, you know, and you want to bring him in. So you say drushes, and that's very good, and the Rambam did so. You know, he gives all sorts of explanations for mitzvahs. But what the Rav said was that what's taimei ha-mitzvahs? What is the genuine way of taimei ha-mitzvahs? Is not to answer the question why. Is anybody here familiar with an essay Rav Soloveitchik published called Halachic Mind? Not Halachic Man. No. I'm not going to recommend it. Unless you have a PhD, not just in philosophy, you have to have a PhD in the philosophy of science in order to take a stab at that lecture. And the Rav wrote it in 1944 when he was at the epitome of his philosophical inquiries, you know, in the University of Berlin. But what I would recommend, if you ever see a Halachic Mind floating around on a table, is turn to page 101, which is the last page in the essay. And there he talks about Tamei HaMitzvahs. And he basically, again, it's very complicated, but I'll give you what I understood, which is only the tip of the iceberg, that we're never coming to answer the question why, but we're answering the question what. What is it? We put it into a halachic perspective. It doesn't mean that that's why God in his ultimate, you know, divine wisdom commanded or mandated that mitzvah. That we can never know. That's pure speculation. You could say one drasha, and I'll say a different drasha. And he'll say a third drush, and it goes on and on. It's all speculation. But what you can do is, in the philosophy of halacha, is to define something. Why do I say this to you? Because what I'd like to do, again, it's just going to take another 2 minutes. This year is officially over. But and everyone could sharpen their knives here and attack me. What I'd like to say is that the answer to the question, according to the Rabban and the Rashba, if Dam coming min amokar, I know it's Dam migufa. There are no issues about it. It's Vadai. And yet she's Tahora. I can't answer the question why, and I never could even ask the question. I'll get up to the pearly gates. Maybe HaKadosh Baruch will reveal it for me, right? But what I would like to say is, what is it? And what it is I believe that the halachic universe works with something called kedarka and shelo kedarka. I'll give you a mashal. If I eat this piece, chas v'shalom, of chazet treif, if I eat it kedarka, the way it normally is done, then I'm chayv malchus. And I violated an isur lav d'oraisa. But if I eat it shelo kedarka, like the Gemara has chelev chai, it's very hot, chelev, it'll burn your throat, or the Gemara says he pushes it into his base. Whatever the cases of Shalom Kedarka is, I'm not chayav. Now go ask yourself why. And the answer is you can't ask that question. It's a puzzle trick. You want to write the Mor Nevuchim, you'll write the Mor Nevuchim and you'll give a drush about it to try to bring in the Etzis wires. You know what I mean? But if you ask me what does it say here, the Halacha says that it recognizes Kedarka and not Shalom Kedarka. Rav Tehla Shlita once wanted to claim that in Macholos Asuras the Torah only recognized what you can see with the naked eye. Is he right? Is he not right? I don't know. It's a very controversial position. But that's how we understood, you know, the famous kasha that you're allowed to kill a kina on Shabbos because lo parim v'lo ravim. We know that that's not true. We've long rejected spontaneous generation, that theory. Says Rav Tehla, and others have said it too, that you can't see the process of periphery with the naked eye. We can see it today because we have electroscanning microscopes. I'm saying a similar thing here. And again, sharpen your knives and kill me for saying it. But what I'd like to suggest is that down below our gosha, again, don't ask me about contemporary women, you know, in that biology, but back in the day at least, down below our gosha is an unusual kind of situation. I don't know what brought on the dam. You know, we'll ask the different scientists, but it's not the normal way a woman sees dam. And just like we have a halach of kedarka, on Yom HaKippurim there's a halach of kedarka, Machol Sasuris has to be kedarka, and as a vita, Shabbos violations of Malach has to be kedarka, and what other examples can I give? Peri of Arivi has to be kedarka from the sense of, you know, I have to see it. All these dinim are the way the Torah formulates halach. The Torah, the halach is gebayt af kedark. Why? I'll never be able to answer that question. But that's the way the halacha operates. All right, Rabosa, we'll stop here.
Go back to the question of Bizman Hazeh. If you argue that there's no hargosh Bizman Hazeh, that undermines all
some. Not that there's no hargosh Bizman Hazeh, but meaning that you know, many women will see without our gush. I have a feeling that there are women, I don't know, I'm not a gynecologist. There are women who will claim that their whole lives they never once felt our gush.
Well, you say Zinn.
Does that sound crazy to you?
There's no need.
Right. So that's what we're going to have to see. But that's, you know, Rabbi, that's what I call the halacha part of our study. Meaning, if you'll bear with me, there's going to be semester number one and semester number two. Meaning, up until about December, I don't know when exactly. I don't have I'm doing this for the first time, so you have to bear with me. I don't have a lesson plan, right? I don't have a lesson plan, which I should, you know. I'm sure back in Toronto you had a lesson plan, but I don't have a lesson plan. But in the broader scope of it, what I'm finding is that to go to the poskim with all the issues, especially contemporary issues, without being well grounded in the Gemara, I think is an avra. Again, that's my prejudice here. That's my agenda. And I admit that there are many people who, even sitting in our base medrash here, who would deny what I'm saying. and they will get 100 on the exam even without going through the sugya as we're racking our brains, reading every word, trying to mendaik it. But I'm just presenting one theory, and you can buy into it or reject. So what I'd like to do is, this is my dream, my Shangri-La vision, is to spend a good couple of weeks, months even, on building the foundations. There's a lot of physiology here and a lot of biology that I don't know beans about, you know, that has to come in its right place. Right now I'm just dedicated to trying to understand the concepts, the nomenclature, the terminology of Masechta Nida. And he's helping me a lot. The Rav Shulchan Aruch, he's helping me a lot. The Moresh Moshe, the Masifta is helping me a lot. I'm using these, you know, these sources. Once we get to the point that we are well entrenched, you know, anchored, you know, our feet are on the ground, and we feel comfortable in Masechta Nida, then we could take out, like Rav Cohen say, for what's it called, that we used a lot for Bas Mechalov, what's it called, Revival Cohen, Bari HaShulchan in Hilchos Nida, he deals with all the contemporary issues. We can read some tshuvas of Rav Moshe, you know, where he dealt with there's a famous tshuva of Rav Shlomo Zalman Auerbach about Dan Bar Gosha, you know, with the Shvoferes and all this. You know, all that contemporary stuff is very critical, and I don't want to leave it out. I also would love to take the exam of the Rabbanut, you know, and try to prove to myself that I know something, you know. But I want to try to postpone that. So again, I know it means, you know, being kovish as Yitro here, you know.
Did Rav ever give Shirim on Nida?
I have some notes from Rav Shechter, but I don't want to mention the name. Somebody told me that it's not really. I don't want to say a word, but you know, it's not worth my time to spend on that. You know, if I'm really building from the bottom. And I asked Avi Moshel if he could find out for me, you know, those series that they have now, Shiri Arav, if there's one on me. Then he came back to me and says there is none. So that means that somebody else apparently felt that whenever the Rav did Hilchos Nida, maybe he was busy, or I don't know what. I can't remember. Avelus, on the other hand, I mean, that was the Rav's forte. I mean, the Rav knew Avelus like you and I know the back of a hand, you know. Rav Tendler
said that biologically Dam Nida is different than all other blood.
Even Dam Mina Aliyah? Because I always thought Dam Mina Aliyah was the same biological substance.
Now that was the thing when he brought in this book with 10,000 ducals of red.
He tried to develop a litmus test. So all you had to do is dip the blood in a kesem, something to raise your kesem.
Right.
To dip the...
It reminds me of what they call...
It doesn't... What's the coagulate?
What do they call it?
It doesn't coagulate.
In heredity, what's it called? The DNA testing. So, you know, there's a book called Nishmas Avram.
Yeah.
And he discusses how the halachic status of DNA testing. There's so many halachas that can change if the halacha recognizes DNA testing, you know. His basic conclusion, again, it's very complicated, is that although we won't paskin based on DNA testing, but it's definitely a halachic consideration.
Fingerprints. There's a whole discussion of fingerprints.
Fingerprints, voice recognition. You know, now they have machines, you know, recordings and...
Well, the thing is,
so DNA testing, now we have blood testing.
That's,
you know,
right. That's Rav
Nachman Kahana is doing the genetic testing for Kohanim, you know what I'm talking about? Oh, you didn't know about this? The man is dedicating his life to try to prove that we can. Rav Nachman Kahana, in the old city.
The one who developed
the old city.
Kahana in America.
And it's Meryl Shomsky.
The one who developed
that. He's a big Talmud, a gigantic Talmud.
There's a Talmud of mine from Toronto.
Really?
Wow. He's a professor now at it'll come.
So he must be working with Rav Kahana. Find out. Because Rav Kahana wants to prove that we can today demonstrate who is a Kohen and who's not a Kohen. It's pretty wild. You know, DNA testing. You know. He says there's a certain gene that Kohen have that Israel don't have.